Now let us consider what we have here in Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, and so on. Now, as we've noted already, we have in this chapter marks or qualities of the Christian. It is an exposition or an exhortation concerning how a Christian should live. How a Christian should live in relation to God himself, verses 1 and 2. How they should live in relation to the church and in service to the church, in verses 3 to 8. And how they should live in relation to other believers and those who are outside, in verses 9 and following. And this chapter is packed with practical duties. But perhaps it is no surprise that the verses here are very searching, because they go to the heart of Christian life and church life, if you will. And now when we come to the closing verses of chapter 12, here are characteristics which are really vital to the vision and to the health of a Christian and the vision and health of a church. And in these closing verses, the theme, if we were looking at verses 16 to the end of the chapter, and were to characterize it by one idea, it would be one of struggle. There is a struggle that the Christian is involved in this world. And it is a struggle, as we see in these verses, for consistency. It is a struggle for harmony, unity or harmony. It is a struggle against evil. It is a struggle for good. And as we begin to look at these closing verses, we just look at verse 16 tonight, the thought in this verse is that there is a harmony to be sought. A Christian is to be driven by a desire for harmony with other Christians. This is a recurring theme, of course, in the New Testament. Be of the same mind. Let there be harmony among the people of God. Let there be a unity of spirit in the bond of peace. And when we speak about the harmony that is desired and exhorted by Paul in this verse, this is to say that this is within the church and amongst believers. And it's very hard. There's no escaping it. It's hard. It's hard for various reasons, but it's hard when there is division occurring in a church, and when there is diversity of denominations, not all maintaining the same standards. Harmony becomes difficult. And no doubt one of the concerns will be what is exhorted here in verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Some people don't allow you to live peaceably with them. That's a fact of life, and no doubt a consequence of sin. We have to guard this ourselves, of course. Some may not allow us to live peaceably with them, but one who follows Christ will always seek to live, so far as it is possible, peaceably with them. We never live peaceably, of course, with people's sin, but we are to live peaceably towards them as far as it is possible. Now, this exhortation of verse 16 encourages us to set our minds and hearts on living in harmony with fellow believers, right across the board. And that is important. And it's important for this reason, among others, no doubt, because the world looks on and the world sees professing believers, perhaps at odds with one another, and not able to make common cause, and not able altogether to make clear statements about what Christianity is or what truth and righteousness are. And it is given, the world is given reason to wonder. Reason to wonder about the nature of Christianity itself even. And what these Christians are up to when they cannot be of one mind with one another. Now we know, of course, that because of sin, disharmony occurs. And very often there's a great deal of hypocrisy about this. People being delighted to point out the disharmony or the differences that there are among professing Christians. But of course you don't need to look further than the world to realise that there is plenty of disharmony in the world. At the present time, the world is abounding with disharmony. But of course, sadly, it does occur in the church, and Paul is concerned with the church. And that there should be among believers, among those who truly do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, a harmony with one another. Be of the same mind, one towards another, he says. If the world sees disharmony among believers in a fellowship, it'll scarcely be drawn to the gospel. We know that there can be no harmony with evil. There can be no harmony with sin. That indeed is something touched upon and exhorted by Paul in verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, he says, but overcome evil with good. And disharmony, of course, will be inevitable. Where there is deviation from the word of God, or where there the principles of Scripture are trampled underfoot, there cannot be harmony in these things. Nevertheless, we must be searched by this exhortation to like-mindedness. The Christian hears it and says, yes, this is the desire that there should be among those who are truly the Lord's and seeking to follow the Lord, having a like-mindedness with them. And such like-mindedness is consistent with commonly holding the gospel. After all, the principal thing in the gospel is that through it, men and women might come to peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives them peace. Therefore, all who have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ ought to have a great measure of peace with one another in him. And this is clearly something to strive for. It's something that the apostle here exhorts the Christians to strive for and the church to strive for. And this is something that will be aided by what Paul speaks of here. Do not set your mind on high things. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own conceits. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Therefore, as we look at this verse, just two things here. First, it is very practical. It is an exhortation that says, first, do not be a proud person or superior in attitude towards others in the family of God. That sums up part of what is exhorted here. Don't be a proud person or superior in your attitude towards others in the family of God. According to Paul, clearly, one of the reasons for disharmony among Christians, as indeed in the world, but also found in the church, is people thinking highly of themselves over against others. Thinking themselves a cut above others. Thinking themselves superior in one way or another. It might be that they feel a superiority in their knowledge, or in their understanding, or in their experience of religion. It may be there's that sense of superiority by their associations, by their traditions, by their attainments, by their background, and so on. What we have here, mind not high things, do not set your mind on high things. Mind not high things is a reference to pride. Do not be proud. Do not be a proud person. Do not have a pride which will think itself a cut above others. Now we know And we know from this chapter itself that there are diversities of gifts among the people of God. This is something that Paul here refers to in verses 3 to 8. He is asking the church to recognize that there are differences among the people of God and to recognize this. And these differences that exist between the people of God in relation to their gifts and so on, these are not to be reasons by which there ought to be encouragement of any pride in them. There are no reasons for pride in the gifts that some have, although others may have lesser or not in such great measure. No grounds for boasting on account of this. We read in 1 Corinthians 4 very clearly, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" In other words, it was as if it was all your own. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Pride, conceit, these are not marks of a Christian. They are bad marks that a Christian may very well have. These are marks of a soul not yet humbled before God. Not yet humbled before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we require to struggle against such things, because they will subtly come into our attitudes and our lives and become bad marks on professing Christians. To the contrary, the mark of the Christian that is to be desired is that of humility. Do not be wise in your own conceits. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Do not think so highly simply of your own opinion on things. Paul says, so the first thing, do not be a proud person, superior in attitude towards others within the family of God. That is the negative aspect of what we have in this verse. And the second is this, be a humble soul. This is the positive aspect. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Associate with the humble, it may be understood or translated. Associate with the humble. Be humble. You know, Christian humility is a powerful mark of a serious Christian. It will involve being humbled before God. That, in a sense, is the first thing. That is the first necessity and responsibility of a man or woman or child in this world. They are called in the gospel to be humbled before God, to recognize their need of Him, to recognize His greatness and sovereignty and His power and His love, and to be humbled before Him. To be humble before the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, walking with Him. Christian humility will involve that humility that is necessary for a soul before God. But also it is a disposition which is consistent with the harmony which Paul speaks of here among Christian believers. That this is such a pervasive thing in the scriptures, let me just mention a few verses from the Psalms and Proverbs. In Psalm 25, verse 9, the humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. Psalm 147, verse 6, the Lord lifts up the humble, He casts the wicked down to the ground. Psalm 149, verse 4, the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. The Proverbs 3:34, quoted there in 1 Peter 5:5, surely He scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. And this is something that is a mark in the New Testament as well. A necessary mark of true Christian living. Humility before God and humility in exercise in your soul in relation to others. James chapter 4 verses 6 and 10, that whole section, he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's Proverbs 3:34. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Peter as well, in that passage we read earlier in 1 Peter 5, all of you be submissive to one another. Here is teaching in 1 Peter 5, consistent with this emphasis on like-mindedness and humility in Romans 12 and 16. All of you be submissive to one another. Not easy, is it? Not easy. Not easy. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 3:34. And there is nothing for it, if we are to be humble people, there's nothing for it than this. Therefore, as Peter goes on to exhort and conclude, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What a wonderful promise that is. This humility, this grace of humility to be so prominent in the church and in exercising the Christian is something that results in this exaltation in due time. There is a reason and a motivation for any Christian to pursue humility of heart and life and soul, and the sort of humility among themselves that is exhorted by Paul here in verse 16. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Like-mindedness, humility, these are so beautiful in a church, so beautiful in a Christian and amongst Christians. It's not easy to achieve, but it is to be striven for. Clearly, it is to be striven for. But really, it is this question of being people humble before God and one another that is the key. It is arguably one of the missing ingredients of the church, which gives the church vision and gives the church attractiveness and gives the church power as well. A people humble before God. And giving evidence of being humble before God because of their attitude to one another. Giving place to one another. Being humbled in the sight of one another. But is it a missing ingredient? Questions flow. Are you really humble before God? Are we a people humble before God? Do people recognize this in us as we gather or go about our business in our communities? There are people humble before God. There are people who realize they are always before the face of God. There are people that don't think too much of themselves, but think so much of Jesus that it is him that they wish to uplift and not themselves. Are you lowly and contrite in spirit? And do you... we think others better than ourselves. There is already this exhortation in Romans 12 and 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Do we humbly read the word? And do we humbly heed the word? Does this characterize your life? And when we are struck by the word, or challenged by its message, which is perhaps felt very personally directed to ourselves, how do you react to it? Is it a reaction of humility? Yes, the Lord is speaking to me and convicting me through this word. There's a test here. Humble yourself under the word. Augustine, the early church father, thought much of humility. He says the three most important characteristics of the Christian are humility, humility, and humility. This doesn't mean that there is not to be any strength of conviction. Understand, of course there is to be strength of conviction. The church, a church without strength of conviction is not worth anything. There is to be strength of conviction based upon the teaching of the word of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the challenge of the gospel. For sure, we need these days to be people with strength of conviction, as much as any day in Skye since the revivals came here. It doesn't mean we will be muted in speaking against sin and error. Of course we will not. We will speak out against these things. That is a responsibility, and it is laid upon us by the Lord, and the Lord expects this of his people, to stand and be counted, to stand in the evil day, to be steadfast and unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. But a humble spirit should mark the believer always, especially before God and before and among fellow believers. As they listen to the exhortation of the apostle, when he says to them, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things. What's that? Pride. Pride comes before a fall. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be not wise in your own opinions. Don't think too highly of your own opinions over against others. There is nothing in this chapter of Romans which one could say, well, it's easy. You go to this verse and the next verse and say, well, that verse is easy, or some of these are a wee bit more difficult. This is all difficult, but this is the theme of particularly this latter part of this chapter. Struggle. Struggle. In this case, it is a struggle, if you will, against pride. And for Christian humility. May the Lord make us and help us and enable us to be people of a lowly and a contrite and a humble spirit, humble before God, and being of the same mind with one another, and seeking to manifest something of the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless these thoughts upon his word. Let us pray. O our loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful that we have access to him through the prayer. And we thank thee, O Lord, that there is found in him all that our souls desire and require. We're thankful for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant the Spirit to be sent into our hearts in power, so that we might show forth more of him, more of his character and characteristics and qualities. O Lord, make us to be a Christ-like people, a people who are devoted to him and to his praises day by day, consistent, struggling to be consistent and godly in this ungodly world. Bless us here tonight. Bless us in our own lives. Bless us in our families and loved ones. Help us, Lord, to act well towards them and one another. And grant, Lord, that we may know the blessing of Jesus upon each one of us. Give thy blessing, Lord, upon those who are absent. And grant, Lord, that they may know the help of the Lord in their lives. We do pray for those who are absent through illness and infirmity. We commend them to thee. We pray for Pat McDonald and pray, Lord, for the hastening of recovery for Pat. And we commend her to thyself, to her soul. We pray for Rita Grant as well and poor physical state. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst cause her mind and heart to dwell upon Jesus, that she would know Jesus as her Saviour and Lord, and that, Lord, she might have a living hope even in the midst of the afflictions of the flesh. Gracious Lord, we are thankful for the church to which we belong. We're thankful for maintaining the ministry of the word. We're thankful for our ministers and elders and deacons and people. We commend each congregation to thyself. In these difficult days, Lord, facing difficult decisions and challenges, help us, Lord, to meet them in dependence upon thyself and with an all-consuming desire to advance the gospel. We are thankful for Parthipan and for the work in Sri Lanka. We pray, Lord, that it would prosper and that he would be helped. We do pray for David Lachman in Zambia and upon the work in Covenant College. And Lord, little do we think or know of the fruit of it in men being thrust out into the highways and byways, prepared through that college for the preaching of thy word and the gathering of sinners into thy kingdom. And this is what we long for our own day and for our own land, that Lord our God, as the word goes forth, sinners would be converted in our congregations. And that we might see men and women turning to the Lord and our children and our children's children being saved. Oh Lord our God, what a great need there is for it. We have no doubt, oh Lord, that the church is safe because Christ is King. But Lord our God, we feel the weight of responsibility in maintaining the truth, and we pray that thou wouldst give us grace to do this and to do it with urgency and to do it with effectiveness. Help us to be holy people, Lord. Deal with us each one graciously, that we might be people full of delight in God, love to the Lord, and give us humility, that Lord our God, we would be humble before the mighty hand of God. What a need there is in our own lives and in the church these days of humility before thee, that thou wouldst lift us up. So look upon us in mercy today. Undertake for us in all our need and in all our ways to acknowledge thee and to love thee. Lord, forgive us all our sin and bless us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.